Well, tonight I want to speak to you on putting ourselves out for the gospel. If you have the television or radio on, quite often you hear the bishops of the Church of England very concerned, vicars very concerned about numbers, how many people are in the church. They're probably not concerned for the right reason, they just want to get numbers to the churches. But we know in our evangelical churches, many of them are very low on numbers. Many of our sister churches, we're very blessed here. But it's a concern, and how we, each one, need to be concerned to pray for our sister churches, pray for all churches that truly preach the gospel, that the Lord will add to their number. Well, I called this talk tonight, Putting Ourselves Out for the Gospel. And I want to look at the first few verses of Mark. And I thought to myself, as I was thinking about this talk, we're thinking about in this church, the clubs are starting up, the mother and toddlers, retired persons, the luncheon for retired people, Christianity explored. But how really concerned are we for lost sinners? How concerned are we for their salvation? Proverbs 11 and verse 30 says, "And he who wins souls is wise." Well, how can we win souls? How can we seek to bring others to the Lord? And you talk to some people, and some people will say, well, it's the job of the pastor, it's the job of the elders, it's the job of the deacons, missionaries, people with special training who've been to Bible college, anyone but themselves. But the Word of God says that we're to go into all the world. When we're saved to serve. We're going to all the world and to preach the gospel. Everyone who is saved is to be a witness, is to tell others of the Lord Jesus. And when we look at the early church, we look at the people who as it were, the founders. We look at the apostles and the disciples. We look at Peter, James, John, fishermen. We look at Matthew, a tax collector. We look at Paul with brilliant mind. And the church is made of all different types of people, so whatever education, whether we're uneducated or whether we're very learned, we are called to tell people the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, "I will make you fishers of men. Come unto me and I will make you fishers of men." Well, some would say, well, that was those days. We're living in the 21st century. But when we look back on some of the people who have given themselves up as missionaries, we look at Hudson Taylor, we look at C.T. Studd, they're only two, but there's many more who gave everything to take the gospel. C.T. Studd gave away his personal fortune, just wanted to go and take the gospel. They gave their lives, they burned with a passion, they really suffered hardship because they were so full of the Holy Spirit, the Lord had so laid it on them. And I wonder today, I must admit, have I got that burning passion? Have you got that burning longing for the lost, to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ? We are called, as I said, to take the good news of the gospel into all the world. Well, let's look at this story, and we look at verse 1, and again it says, Jesus enters Capernaum. Jesus was no stranger to Capernaum, for if we look in the previous chapter, chapter 1, we see that he enters Capernaum on a Sabbath day and he performs a wonderful miracle. He heals people. Many people come out. Peter's mother-in-law is healed and made well. So Jesus did many wonderful work then. And then we see that Jesus went away. The people were looking for him. If you look in verse 36, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." They were all looking, but Jesus said, "We must go away to other towns. We must go away, and I have other people to teach the good news to." So Jesus went preaching and teaching in other towns. Now he comes back to Capernaum, probably to the home of Peter. This is where Jesus quite often stayed, and we see Jesus had been very busy. If you look back in the last chapter, busy healing people, busy teaching people. And quite possibly he was going to have a rest now, relax with his disciples. You know what it's like if you've been out all day. Sometimes you just want to get home and put your feet down and sit down and have a rest. But Jesus wasn't allowed to. As soon as he was in the house, somewhere, someone had seen Jesus go into the house, and immediately the word went around, immediately, and they began coming and gathering and flocking at the door, and they packed the house out. They'd seen the wonderful things that Jesus had done. They'd seen the miracles. But here we see that Jesus didn't send them away. He put himself out for the gospel to tell them the good news. The house was packed. Jesus preached. We can picture Jesus preaching to the people. And then comes along these four men carrying this poor, paralyzed man, probably on something like a stretcher, unable to help himself, helpless, completely dependent on friends. And verse 4 tells us they arrived when everybody was gathered in. They arrived too late. We don't know why they arrived late. Maybe because it took them longer to get there. Maybe they only heard a little bit later. Maybe, like some people, late for everything. But we don't know. But how sad, they got this man to Jesus and they weren't able to get him into Jesus because of the crowd. What a disappointment. And then we read verse 4, they decided to go on the roof. Now, eastern houses, unlike our houses, they had flat roofs. And they had a staircase very often up the side. And some of the houses even just had a ladder, I'm told, going up the side to the house. So they decided to go this way. They broke through the roof. Luke chapter 5 verse 19 in the parallel story says they removed the tiles and on the roof they went. Spurgeon, commenting on this story, said, if we cannot get sinners where Jesus is by ordinary methods, we must use extraordinary ones. He went on to say, removing tiles would cause a measure of danger for those below. There would be dust and danger of tiles being dropped on the people below. But when the case is very urgent, we must not mind running risks. So, the man was lowered down to Jesus. Jesus dealt with this man. He dealt with the most important problem. He dealt with his sin. He healed him. And Jesus had time for this man. You imagine Jesus was preaching to all these people. He didn't say to him, well, you better go away. Come back another time. I'm too busy. He did not say this. He put himself out and he attended to this man. Well, I've just briefly gone through the story, but now I want to see what lessons can we learn from this account. How can we bring people to Jesus? First, let us look at this man. He was helpless. Otherwise, the men would have no need to carry him. His condition was hopeless. No one could do anything for him. No doctors could cure him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there. And this is a picture of a sinner, a person who is not saved. They're helpless. They're hopeless. They're unable to help themselves. And there's many obstacles in the way to get them to Jesus. As we seek to bring people to the Lord Jesus, so often there's so many obstacles. There's this obstacle, there's that obstacle. But we must keep on. Well, let's look at these men. And first of all, we see their determination. We're not told how far they had come. But by the time they got there, they were probably exhausted. Carrying this man, even if it was only for a short distance, the longer you carry somebody, the heavier they get. Now, many of you probably have carried children, and a child likes picking up, you carry them for a little while, and you put them down, oh, carry me longer. And you say, look, I can't, you're getting too heavy. You're too heavy, I can't carry you any longer. So you can imagine how heavy this man must have been, how exhausted they must have been, sweating, how worn out they must have been when they arrived. And they arrived at the house, and I said also before, they were so disappointed. Crowd the people, pushing all around. Now, you imagine if you're in a crowd and you're trying to get through, it's hard. But maybe you've been in a football match. But can you imagine how hard it would have been carrying this man in a crowd? People not liking it. People, what are they doing? Carrying this man would have really been hard. And they could have said, well, let's give up. It's no good. Let's try another day. Nothing we can do. Oh, it's too bad. And we'll have to give up and go away. And as I thought about this, I thought, sometimes if you hear a testimony of people, they said about coming to the Lord, and they maybe said about a friend or someone they spoke to, and they keep on at them. I don't mean it in a wrong sense. They keep on about coming to the Lord until in the end they do. And this is like with this man here, you know, that they kept on, they persevered. And I say, this is the testament of somebody who's been saying, oh, that person kept on, and praise God they did, and they were brought to the Lord. Well, we see that they're there, they can't get in, the door's blocked, every possible way, and they decide to go on the roof. Well, we're not told why they or how they decided, but they persevered. They didn't give up. Now, can you imagine? It just says, goes over it quite late, but can you imagine getting this man up on the roof? Now, they're probably exhausted, and how they would get him up on the roof, we're not told anyone else helped. Imagine that they had to lug him up on the roof. What physical effort to get this man up. And then when they got him on the roof, they had to pull the roof up. They had to break it apart. Then they had to lower him down to Jesus. Now, commentators say that Jesus possibly was preaching in an upper room. Others say it could have been a room, just an opening, just one big room down below. We don't know. But the point is that they got this man to Jesus. They broke up the roof. How zealous they were to get him there. How keen, how zealous. And we see their love for this man. They didn't give up. This poor man would have been so disappointed. They didn't give up. And how we need love for the lost. How we need love for those who are going to hell. We may speak to them and may say and answer us wrongly. They may. Sometimes it's possible when you speak to people that they annoy you by saying the things that they say, but we must give up. We must not give up. We must have great love for them. We see also, secondly, that their great care for this man. Their great care. They were so concerned. Nothing was too much trouble. And this is how we are to be. Nothing must be too much trouble to bring people to the Saviour. When my uncle died in Manchester a few years ago, it fell to my sisters and myself to go and clear his house out, and quite a journey up to Manchester to spend the day there working. Well, the first time we went, a solicitor let us in. We were in the house. Oh, what a mess. Terrible things to clear up. Then there was a knock on the front door. It was the next door neighbour. She was concerned at what we were doing. But when she knew who we were, she could be nothing but helpful. She didn't know us from anyone. But she was so kind. Every time we went up, every few hours, she made us cups of tea and sandwiches. We didn't ask her to. She put herself out for us. And when I said to her, well, you know, I don't have to do this. Well, I do it for the sake of Mr. Brown, my uncle. I do it for the sake of your uncle. So kind. How we need to be kind. How we need to put ourselves out for the gospel, for telling others the good news of Jesus. Well, they put themselves out. Then we see they were united in bringing this man to Jesus. If one had given up, or if they started an argument, they would never have got to the Lord Jesus. It would have been absolute failure. How we need love and unity, how we all need to be united in love to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know in this church we do have much love and much unity, but how we mustn't take it for granted. We must constantly pray that we may have love and unity. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for another." Now, to illustrate this point, I have an illustration. This is a very, very sad illustration, but I just want to bring it to your mind. Years ago, when I was a young person in the church we were at, we had an elderly couple come to the church and join us. And they left another local Baptist church. They joined the church, everything was happy. And they went to their first church meeting. And they said it began very nicely in prayer. And then they started discussing things. And two men in that meeting got up with their fists right up to one another. Now, that's very sad. And I only use that to illustrate the point. I hope that doesn't happen in churches. I know it doesn't happen here. But how we, as Christians, need to love one another. Well, there was only four men. The church is small. When you consider the world around, how small the church is to bring this message to the world. There's only 12 apostles or 12 disciples. But God is able, even with a small amount of people, to take and use them. It's like the grain of mustard seed to the extension of his kingdom. These men could only bring this man to Jesus. And we can say we can only bring them to the Lord. We can't do anything for them in and of ourselves, but show them the love of the Lord. And another thing we see, we're not told that anyone else was saved that day. And you look in the previous chapter, see many brought to the Lord, many healed. But here we only see in this story one person, this man. Jesus saw these men's faith. And Jesus would see all our efforts to bring people, our efforts to bring people to the Lord Jesus. Well, in closing, how willing are we to put ourselves out for the gospel? How willing are we to go that extra mile? How willing are we to cancel something which may be important to us? How easy is to rest and take it easy? And we need to put it to one side and say, well, I must put myself out like these men. I must put myself out. Maybe at this time with the clubs and that starting up, with our pastor on his sabbatical, the elders may say to one of us, oh, can you do this, can you do that? Well, we must try and do these things without counting the cost. And whatever we do in the church, it's all for the glory of God. It's all for the sake of the gospel. When we look at what the Lord has done for us, what he saved us from, how he's come into our hearts and lives, how he's changed us, surely it should stir our hearts with love and devotion to him. That we cannot help but tell people what the Lord has done for us. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last.